EF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Hi everybody, as the screen says, my name's Grant Straker. I'm the technical director for Straker Interactive. Just tell a little bit about myself. I founded and run a company out of Auckland, New Zealand, a Cold Fusion Development House that we started 7 years ago. And we predominantly build Cold Fusion software, which we sell around the world. We have an office in London, an office in Sydney, and an office in Auckland. I've been working in Cold Fusion since Cold Fusion 4, and I've recently become a Flex convert and have focused our development efforts a lot into Flex development. There's a couple of announcements I've got to make just before I start. One is that Parkhead is free for the next 2 days, and the other one is that the Cold Spring BOF is in Ballroom E at 7 p.m. for anybody that's going to the Cold Spring BOF. As I say, just kind of a bit about myself. I have a degree in mechanical engineering. Before that, I was actually, even though I'm a New Zealander, I spent a reasonable amount of time as a paratrooper in the British Army, and somehow ended up working in Cold Fusion. So I'm not quite sure how it all fits together. But I'm here really today to tell you about performance tuning and troubleshooting in CFMX. Now, just to give you a bit of history about, well, I think I can stand up here and say this. We have a pretty large application that we've built in CF, which is sold around the world. And about 18 months ago, we started to get a few performance-related issues. It was almost something that happened overnight, to be honest. We were basically, I think, that our clients and the functionality that they were putting in and the scale and the load of the number of users that were starting to put in the system basically sort of reached a tipping point. And all of a sudden, we were cruising along quite happy. And then, you know, the next week, everybody's screaming that things weren't running how they should run, and they were getting lovely JRun 500 null errors and all sorts of other things were going on. So I was pretty much spent about the next six months consumed with understanding everything about how to actually tune CF, how to make it easy to troubleshoot. It's, you know, when you're in New Zealand and you're a long way away from some of your key markets like Europe, you know, getting woken up at 2 a.m. because somebody's CF server won't run isn't that nice. And especially when you don't believe some of it's to do with you, and some of it might be the way they've got things configured, and some of it might be some other application. Yeah? Can you? Okay, all right. Is that better? Okay, right. Yeah. They haven't got a thing. Uh-huh. Okay. I'll just speak up into this for now. So I spent a reasonable amount of time trying to understand this and trying to get processes that would actually make it easy for our clients to be able to debug themselves and to make sure that when we develop stuff, we had a really good system to ensure that happens. Now, I guess point in case is I spent about 6 months figuring all this out and coming up with systems that actually solve this problem. And I did the same presentation to WebDU in Sydney in February, and since then, I haven't had to do too much performance tuning, because we've actually managed to solve right across a wide range of clients most of the issues and actually enabled them to figure out how to solve them themselves. So when I had to refresh to represent this, I was going, crikey, I hope everything still works. So I gave it a test yesterday and it still seems to be all going. So what I'll do is just to cover what I'll go through, pretty much just cover why we need to do this performance tuning. I mean, how many people here have had Cold Fusion-related performance issues? A fair few. Every single person when I was in Sydney put their hand up. So, you know, I don't think it's anything to be ashamed about. And there's reasons that it's happened. Then I'll cover off a little bit about the architecture, but very, very quickly. Some principles of troubleshooting. And then basically I'm just going to go, I've sort of got my PowerPoint slides set up, but to be honest, I'm just going to take you through the whole process. I think that's the easiest way that people can learn. There's so much in this. When I did this in Sydney, I think I got through about half my PowerPoints. I ran out of time. So I'm really going to try and focus on the key things that you need to know, okay, and what you need to understand and make sure that hopefully when you leave, I've sort of put you in the right direction. So, I mean, the amount of people that put their hand up then is a clear indication, and I don't blame CF for the performance stuff. There's a lot of things that have happened in the last few years, probably far more than most people understand. Is what this graph's showing is that over time, you're just lowering the amount of time for which to deploy apps. And the functionality and the load on those apps is actually increasing quite dramatically. And we're filling that in with a technology gap, and that's why CF's so good. I mean, it just makes it very, very easy for us to build a lot of functionality very quickly. And that's really, that's why it's been a successful language. And so as that happens, we get squeezed to deliver stuff very quickly. And even with the best processes and all the other things that go on, in the real world, stuff happens and you have to deal with that. So by having a good process around, you get to the end of that stage, you know that you can actually set up something that would tell you whether your system's going to crash or how it's going to work before it gets put into production. Or if it goes into production and you start having issues, then you can find a way to quickly find them, solve them, and move on. Because some things don't manifest themselves until you get into production as best efforts that you're trying to avoid that. Sometimes it does happen. Okay, so just a little bit about CF architecture. So basically, we've got a web server, we've got a connection which talks to our runtime. The runtime basically compiles to Java classes and feeds it back to the browser. I think most of you are probably aware of that concept, and that ultimately it's a Java-based system, so you need to understand some of the underlying Java architectures to really figure out if you've got issues. As much as it might map back to something you're doing in your code, to understand it, you've really got to work backwards. So just a few principles. And the first one is that there's three things that are going to cause you an issue. You're going to have a CPU or a threading issue, you're going to have a memory management issue, or you're going to have a network disk I/O type problem. Now I map this back to thinking back in the Miami days, and if you're somewhere and a Land Rover broken down and you've got to fix it, the first thing that you're going to look at in an engine is you're going to go, have we got fuel? Have we got a spark? Has a cam belt broken? Just trying to map it to something that says, you need to find out quickly what's going on, and there's going to be a couple of key reasons that that's happening. So as soon as you can identify whether it's, the analogy of a simple engine, have we got fuel? Have we got a spark and a spark plug? That was before they put computers in engines and completely stuffed it up. But, or have we got a network type of issue? Now, obviously, these things can manifest themselves in different ways. So you just got to have a good process to work through. So the second principle, basically, and I mean, again, these are things that I know that we have done that definitely have helped and solved issues. I've just gone back to do. Okay, you have to be able to simulate the load under which the system's failing. If you can't simulate the load, then pretty much you're relying on a production environment. So, you have to have a system for doing that. You've got to know what diagnostics to record when the system's failing, okay, because you've got to be able to interpret those results and adjust. Because ultimately, if you can see the CF administrator, then it's something in your code which is basically breaking something. I think either Germany or Argentina just scored anyway, because of the noise that was coming out the back there. interpret the results, and adjust the application code. So that leads on to principle three, which is basically there's five things that you can adjust or tune to fix this. You've got your application code, you've got your ColdFusion administration settings, you've got JRun and Java Virtual Machine settings you can change, web server settings, or you've got operating and network systems. Now, those three principles are pretty rock fast. If you apply those, you're going to find out what's going on and you're going to be able to solve the problem. Right. What I'll do now is just basically jump into what I'd do if you approach, so you've turned up somewhere, you've got your application and you start getting JRun's just stopped, ColdFusion's just chucked you a horrible 500 null error, something's wrong, what do you do? You're going to call Adobe Consulting and ask them to come and help you. What's the first thing that you need to do? And basically, what I want to show you is some things that you can do that don't cost any money, that you can set up very quickly, and similar to the analogy of the is it fuel or is it a spark plug, you can start to find out where the issue is lying and then start to pinpoint it. Okay, so you know, the really important thing is that you have a process that you can apply under pressure. And you know, a lot of the times when you've got these sorts of issues, you're generally under pressure. Something's just gone live, or something's just growing, or somebody's flexed a switch. That's changed something, and things have started to break. Okay, so having a process that you can apply under pressure is really, really important. So let me just come here. So the first thing that that we want to do is we need to get some, going back to my second principle, we need to get some logging on and try and get some information about what is happening within the system. Okay, so in this case, now I've got the J2EE version running here, but we need to look at our JRun XML. Okay. And we need to turn on some debugging settings. So actually I need to do this, probably it's better. I think I've already got one in here we go. Okay. So we need to turn on a few good things. So I mean, how many people are familiar with the JRun XML and what it does and how to tune it? Yeah, I'll come back to let you know some of it's in the servers, yes, instance name, server INF folder. Okay. So if we go down here, we have a metric service, okay? So what we need to do is we turn on our metric service, and that's going to give us some metric logging. Now, I'll come back and cover some of what these various settings do when we get onto the tuning phase, okay? But we have a login service, and what we need to do in here is basically set up what information out of the JRun engine we're going to log so that we can see what's happening. Now, this enables us to... there are various variables you can actually send. The ones that I find that really matter... Okay, a couple of things here. Sorry, you can set your metrics enabled to true rather than false. I've got some information on this at the end that I can show you that can take you through it. The frequency, I actually set the frequency quite low. Every 5 seconds I log it, because when you're trying to debug, I generally found that if you need to see information in a hurry, you can generally load, if you've got a good load testing system and you've got an issue, you can generally load it fairly quickly to fail. So what you want to see is in quick time what is going on. You've got threads, the ones that that matter are the busy thread and the total thread. I'll just come back to that. And then you've got your memory. So the total memory and the free memory. So I'll just explain these in a second. So where these are happening in what these threads are about is what is getting sent to the JVM and how it's processing information. Okay, so it can start to tell you to identify what is going wrong inside of your instance. Now, what we have here is a scheduler service. So what the scheduler service does is it actually schedules threads to go into the JVM. Okay, and there's a couple of settings in here which are very important because it determines how much workload you're going to send off to the JVM. Okay, so if the important one is the active handler thread. So this is bound into the power of your actual hardware. So the more hardware you have, the bigger you can make that number. If you had, you know, 4 CPU, very powerful server, then you can up that number. Okay, if you've got a single CPU, then you have to drop it down. Okay, now... So I've turned on some metric logging, and what I'll do, once you start to see the results of these logs, I'll come back into this file and talk a bit more about what's going to happen. So what else do we need to do? That's one set of logs that we need to turn on. Second one that we can do is we have our JVM config. So our JVM config is the arguments and parameters that get sent to the actual JVM to tell it what to do. Now, down here you can pass a wide range of arguments into your JVM. Now, a couple of important ones are how much memory you set your JVM at. Okay, but what I'm just talking about now, just before we change anything, I just want to show you what we need to set up for logging. So we're setting up our metric logs, we can see that. And the important one down here is that I'm actually writing out to a log file the garbage collection. Okay? So that I can see my JRun metric logs, which are going to tell me what's happening inside my JVM. And now I'm going to also see what's happening inside JRun. And I'm also going to see garbage collection. And as I say, once you see these logs, I'll start explaining a bit about what they do. Okay, so then we've also got some other logs that are happening. We've got our ColdFusion logs, okay, error logs, and the like that we set up. So we've set all these up. Then what do we do? Okay. Let me just jump through to here. So we've set up some logging. And where is it? What I have here is basically a tailing app. So what that does is it just gives me real-time view of a log file. Okay, so as the log file updates, so this will update in real-time. Okay? Now, what we want to be able to see is exactly what's happening in real-time when we load test inside of our application. Okay, because this is what's going to tell us where to start looking and what we need to adjust and what we need to tune. Okay, so here's the things that I've got going on here. We've got, these are the metric logs that I just set up in my JRun.xml. Okay, so I've got my busy and total threads, and I say I'll come on to explain some of this. I've got the total memory in the system and how much is free, so therefore I can see how much is being used. I've got my garbage collection, which I'll explain in a minute, okay, so that I can see that. I have a trace log running here, and I'll just come onto a trace log. And then I've got the exception file, so I can see if ColdFusion starts throwing any errors. So I've turned up somewhere. Somebody's having some performance-related issues, yeah?
Is JRun for error or free application?
It is, yes, yeah.
You can download it?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Is this a Java problem?
It is, yes. Okay. So basically, here we go. We've got what I call a debug console. Okay, so if somebody said to me, can you come and have a look at our server? We've got some problems. First thing I'd do is turn on metric logging, get garbage collection logging on, okay, and then start to set this up. So we've got it set up. We've got a system which has got some problems. Now we need to understand what all these things are and how they affect the system, okay? And we need to see what happens to them under load to see what's going wrong. Now, let me jump in. So as I said, one of the principles that I talked about was actually being able to load test your application. So now we need to jump into load testing the application. Now there's a few load testing tools out there. I personally use this WebStress tool, which is quite a neat one. It's quite cheap. And it does the job for me to be able to load test an application. You can just click through the links that you want to load test, save it. It can do multiple sessions. It can do most of what you want. And it, you know, I think the pro version is $100 or something like that, and the enterprise is about $1,000. But it allows you to do everything that you need to do. So what I've got running, I've got a simple site running on our software here, which is just a demo site. So I can come back in and I can start to load test. So we get starting to see now. So I come back into my app and I should see things change. So the first thing I see is that my threads jumped right up. My garbage collection started getting much busier. Okay, at the moment, all I'm seeing, I'm just waiting for the memory to switch over. Okay, so garbage collection's going crazy. There's a lot going on. I'll just let this run. As you can see, my busy threads have maxed out at my JRun total thread setting, and my total ones keep growing. So what's this telling me? At the moment, this app, and I'm doing this on an app that's not actually broken. Okay, it's just going to show me how it's going to react under load. I did this presentation once where I broke my laptop by crashing everything, and then nothing would restart. So I learned a lesson that probably I just need to show the principles. Okay, so So first of all, let's talk about garbage collection. Who here has heard of garbage collection, understands what it is? Okay, so basically within your Java engine, you have this principle of garbage collection, which says that it's memory management within the JVM. When the JVM has a model that takes old memory, gets new allocations of memory, sticks it in one part of the JVM, and then periodically moves that when it's not being used again into an old part of the JVM, and then periodically takes that and gets rid of it out of the JVM. Okay, why it has to do that, I don't know. But I do know that it can have a very big effect on what happens within an application. So I've seen applications where the garbage collection pause. I mean, this is only taking 0.005 of a second to run that garbage collection. I've seen garbage collection take 5 seconds at a time and be running constantly. Okay, pretty easy to set something up to do that, you know. And basically, you know, when you get the classic, you've got a ColdFusion application and you click and you want something to happen and you get a little bit of a pause and it doesn't quite respond in time, that's garbage collection happening. Generally, that would be something happening in the garbage collection if it's not an overheavy process going on. So you need to watch the garbage collection because, I have seen apps where garbage collection has consumed a huge amount of the actual time taken of the processor, because basically when garbage collection is happening, the processor stops doing anything. Full stop, stops. So nothing will happen, and that's why multi-processor machines and twin core make a big difference. I mean, for a while, I remember a couple of years ago, people used to ask us, I know the processors became so powerful and licensing was all done around processing models, people would say, well, what do you recommend for your hardware? Can we just have one great big processor on the machine? Is that a better option? And I used to say, yeah, absolutely. Until they started to do a lot of monitoring and seeing that two processing machines make a massive difference to the way in which particularly Java operates. So having a two-processor server in a production environment becomes quite important, and the more processors you can get, the better. So we've got garbage collection, and we can see what's going on. In this case, what you're seeing is just the last number here, forgetting about all this, it's that last one, which is how many seconds it's taken to run that garbage collection cycle and how often it's happening. So if you can see constant garbage collection taking quite a long time, okay, then that's starting to tell us that something's wrong basically in the tuning of that JVM, because that's a tunable factor, or there's something in your application which is causing that to happen, okay? And we can start looking a bit further. So what happens over here then in our metric login? Okay, we've still got 31 total threads. It can take a while sometimes for threads to drop down, okay? And we can see that we have our memory, some of it's still being consumed. The application that I was load testing probably has a lot of stuff in cache, puts a lot of stuff in there for other performance reasons, so the JVM will use some memory, but we haven't seen it go down to zero, and I'll show you some examples as we go through of where that can drop off. So what are you looking for to find out where your issues are? I'll just run this load test again. If when I started I saw my free memory go down to zero, okay, and then I saw a big ugly out of memory error, that would be pinpointing that you've probably got a memory issue somewhere in your application, okay? If I saw, as I see here, my busy and total threads, if it went straight up to my busy threads, up to 25, and my total threads keep growing and growing and growing, then what that's telling me is I've got some sort of CPU issue. Basically, the JVM is hanging, threads are getting generated, and CS saying, go and do some stuff, and it's saying, hold on, I haven't ended up processing the last lot of stuff I was asked to do, so you'll see the total threads just going up and up and up, all right, while the busy threads reach their max. And then you go, hold on, we've got a processing issue here, we've got something going on, there is a process in my application or some code I've written, which is basically where the issue is, okay? So, you know, you can start to sort of get a feeling whether it's a threading issue or whether it's a memory issue, okay, memory management issue. So then you can say, well, what next? I've got that. How do I find out what's causing the problem? Okay, before I do that, I'll just cover one other thing that you can do. You see down here I have a performance trace.cfm. Now what that's about is When we started to have issues in our application and we couldn't pinpoint why it was happening and what was going on, one of the fundamental issues you get, if you turn on Cold Fusion debugging, it will tell you lots of information, but it has a massive overhead. And it only tells you on the page actually what happened in that request. It doesn't tell you what's going on in the background. Okay, so you might see that one request, and then but you can't see what else is going on. So what we did was we actually put a trace in every single one of our functions. And I know that Cold Fusion 8, they're starting to put some of that inherently into the actual the runtime so that you can see that in real time. But what this does is it then tells us, we log out in every function, how long a function's taken to run, what's happened within that function, and various bits of information. Very low overhead, and it's just turned off by default. So if I went and turned this on, okay, so I've got our trace log, I turn it on, I can have a couple of simple format or a verbose format. All right, I just want the simple one. So when I turn that on, every function that runs within our application will start to log. Okay, let me show. Now that's something that we've written. I have got the code available, but it's something that we've written. We made the call that we would go back in our application, and we've got a huge app with many thousands of lines of code, and change every function to actually to have this embedded inside it. Okay, and I can probably show you some of the code somewhere. Yeah. I did write some stuff up on this, so I'll just explain a bit of that at the end. Right, okay. So now if I go back, start my test again. And this should... starts running. Is that running yet? All right, there we go. Okay, that should be... starting to log stuff. Sometimes this resets itself and doesn't read the log file. Okay, here we go. Right, so now I can see everything that's going on. So now I've got real time. This is a real low overhead, way, way lower than CF. And what it's telling me is if that server's got three other, got other instances of stuff happening, you can actually start to see what is going on. So we're just logging the time, okay, that it's taking for each query to run. As you can see, there's a fair bit going on. A lot of it's just zero because we cache a huge amount of our functionality. Okay, but, we can see everything else that's going on, and I can get a feel. Now, one of the interesting things you'll see here just when this test finishes, just waiting for it to come up, is that it takes a while. If I just pushed one page on my CF, I might have got my CF debugging and I saw what was going on. But with this system, what you're actually seeing is everything else that keeps running after that request. And with some of the technologies now, like the asynchronous gateway stuff that you've got in Cold Fusion, there might be requests running that you don't know about, okay? And they could be running in the background. So this starts to tell you if there's anything that's going on within the application that you didn't actually know was running. Okay, so that's dropped down, and we're back to normal. So that starts to give me the whole picture of where I'm at. So the next thing is I've come in, I've got the really important information I need to know. I need to know if I'm running out of memory, if I've got a threading problem, if I've got a garbage collection issue, okay, and I can start to map that back to the way in which I need to tune my application. So, first things, if I saw that my garbage collection was really, really high and that I had a lot of issues, then what you can do with that is you can go into your JVM and you can tune your JVM, okay, and you can start to look at ways to resolve that, or you can look at ways at which it works inside your application. So, these are the arguments that you pass to your JVM. Okay, now, if you had a memory management issue, the most important one that you would change is this XMX. Now, I've got it set at 512. Okay, on Windows you can have that up to 2 gig of RAM. Now, this comes into the whole tuning process again. Garbage collection is all about how much stuff gets shipped around inside the JVM. So if you set that at 2 gigs, what happens is that at 2 gigs, your JVM's got more memory stuff in there. So garbage collection issues happen because you're shifting memory from the new stuff in the garbage collection to the old stuff and then out of it. So the bigger you set it, the longer it's going to take to do the garbage collection because it's going to be more in there. Okay? If you set it too small, there might not be enough memory for what you need to do inside your application. So this is a very application-specific setting. You need to tune it for your application. Even though you can take some good defaults, if it starts to give you problems, you need to go, right, got it. You know, that could have been 2 gigabytes because that's easy. I had a memory, I had an out-of-memory error, so I just set it huge and I don't have that problem. But then that might start to give you a garbage collection issue, right? So you have two settings, XMX and XMS. The main one is how much you apply, okay? The lesser one is a finer tuning type of setting. I just set it to the same as the maximum because it can take, otherwise it can go up and down trying to sort itself out, and experience has shown me that it's easier just to set the two together. Okay, there is a huge range of arguments that you can pass to your JVM. Okay, the other one, and I haven't got it down here, it's been a while since I've done this presentation. You can pass the type of garbage collector that gets used, okay? So different JVMs have different garbage collectors. So if you have a dual processor machine, you can set different types of collectors to run, okay? And those different collectors can make a big difference in the way in which garbage collection happens. I mean, we've seen in a production environment, a client where we've been able to tune the JVM with all those settings to get rid of basically what was a flaw in the way an application was running, and we've been able to mask it and get it to run because we've been able to tune the JVM so finely. But it took a long time, and really we needed to change some of the core code that was in that application. Unfortunately, it was in a production environment, and they couldn't do an update, and there were other issues around that. Okay, so you can actually use this to change it. And I say, I just haven't got... I might have an example in another one in a minute. No. So that's a bit about garbage collection. You're really trying to set your memory management to your application and the way in which your processes are set up and the way in which things work, okay? And you can set things like the perm size. So what's that? That's the perm is in the JVM is basically like an index to monitor what's happening inside your JVM. So the more stuff that you stick in there, the perm grows to actually manage it, okay? And what can happen is if your perm, you have so many objects in your JVM, then the perm size actually gets above its default setting, which I think is only like 32 megs, and then you'll get an out-of-memory error because the index that was trying to watch everything in the JVM to know when to switch stuff between the new and the old and out hasn't got enough memory itself, okay? So setting the perm size is quite an important setting, okay? So there's a number of things that you can do around the JVM. Okay, just getting back to stuff here. So that'll cover off basically how you can tune your garbage collection for your application, and also how you can, if you've got an out-of-memory error, how you can actually solve that. Okay, so let me just come back. Next, it's about what you do if you've got a threading issue, a CPU issue. What do you do if your busy threads go up to your maximum, your thread handler, and then your total keep growing? Okay? Well, there's a couple of things that you can do there. You might go, well, wouldn't I just up the amount that I could have of my busy ones? That's the logical thing to do. You know, let me go back into my jrun.xml and let me go to my my scheduler service, and why not just make that 100? Because that'll solve it, because I've got 100 busy ones. If I up it, maybe that'll fix it. But the problem with doing that, of course, is then what happens is you're sending a huge amount of information into the JVM. Okay, you're telling that scheduler service, start sending lots and lots of threads to the JVM. And then the scheduler service, which is there to schedule stuff into the JVM, spends all its time trying to watch all of these things going into the JVM, okay, and then you start to get context switching, where it's just spending all its time trying to manage all of the threads waiting to go into the JVM because your processor on your machine isn't powerful enough to actually manage all of those threads at once. Okay, so active handling threads, again, is a very important tuning. It's tuning. You have to tune it for your application. I think that the Adobe, I keep saying Macromedia, but the Adobe settings are something like Active Handler threads are 12, I think I see as a recommender. I've found 25 per CPU seems to work very, very well. If you've got a dual CPU machine, set it to 50. You've got four CPUs, set it to 100. If you've got one, set it at about 25. Seems to, for most applications that I see, when I see them getting load tested and what happens, that's fine. All right. I think it used to be 8, and it's 25 now.
Oh, it's 8 in server configuration and 25 in model server.
Right, okay, yeah. So, I mean, 8, I would say you would see some issues, okay? Yeah. This doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter about your JRun instances in terms of this is one JRun instance, but you can tune each instance. Okay, your JVM you can also set up for instance, but generally that would be more global. That would be for your whole server, depending on how you've set it up. Okay, so basically, your active handler threads are going to manage the CPU. How much you're sending into your CPU. So when you start to get these performance-related issues, tuning the JVM and tuning JRun can make a huge amount of it go away. You know, like I said before, everybody's had these issues with CF code. I mean, I can think our application would have tens of thousands of lines of code. It's just got so much. Yet probably the issues we had were down to two or three lines. I mean, that's how forgiving CF is in terms of this performance stuff. Okay, and if you've got CF doing all of that, and then you can tune this. You know, your application can still run very, very well. And you know, it's generally the really big apps that you need to really start doing this. Okay, so that's your scheduler service. That's basically scheduling stuff in the JVM. You're starting to see your threads have maxed, and then you've got really loads and loads of busy threads. If you actually then up this value, say, to 50, and you saw that your performance still performed, your application still performed well, okay, then that's how you're going to tell. You're going to load test and you're going to see what response you're getting back from your pages, and you just put this up under load until you find out when it sits right. As I say, it's a tuning factor. There's so many variables that can affect it. You know, your application code, the server it's on, all sorts of things. So you need to be able to load test and then just change your active handler threads until you're getting the best performance out of your system. Okay? And then that's how you tune it. Okay. Now, there's another couple of settings in this JRun XML which are important. So that's your scheduler service. If you go a bit further down, you also have the JRun proxy service. So what this does, this handles requests between the web server and your instance, okay, and the ColdFusion runtime. So if you had your scheduler service set at 50, but this was only set at 10, then you're going to get a bottleneck in your proxy service, okay? So this generally needs to be set pretty similar to what you've got your scheduler service set at, unless you've got lots of asynchronous gateway stuff going on, at which point it's going to go straight to the scheduler service. It's not going to go through the proxy because it's not getting called through HTTP web environment. Okay? So we've set up and we're starting to see that we've got, so say we've done all that, but we still see that we've got a problem in our, we're getting a bottleneck in our application, and we've tuned our JRun scheduler service, but it hasn't solved it. So the next thing you know is, okay, so what we now know is that we've got our JVM with some sort of thread lock in it because something is holding up a process and your busy threads are growing because basically they can't get access to the JVM because something's holding it up. So the big question is, what the hell's holding it up and how do I find out what that is? Okay, on to the next toy that we've got in the armory, in the toy shop. Okay, so this is a tool. There's ways that you can do this, okay? This is a tool that does it. I've forgotten what it's called now. It's called StackTrace. It's a committed cost, $20 or something. I can't remember what it cost. Now, what this does, this is just an easy way to take a thread dump. You can take a thread dump from the command prompt, but this is an easy way to do it, okay? It's just a tool that will allow me to take a thread dump by looking at the various Java processes that are running, okay, and for me, okay, so I from here, I'm not sure whether it's 294, I've got a couple of instances running of JRun, or whether it's that one. I think it's that one. So what I want to do is come back in here, start my test. So I've got my load test going, I come back in here, I see that my busy threads have shot up, that my total threads keep growing, that I've got a nightmare going on. I've tuned my JRun scheduler service, that hasn't fixed it. I've tuned my JVM, it's still not doing it. So something is holding up what is going on inside the JVM, okay? So we go into here and we go, give me a dump of what is currently running in the JVM. So what this is telling me everything that's happening right inside my JVM as we speak, all right? So I come back up here, and as you can see, there's lots of the word cold fusion in there, which is all good. So these threads here, JRPP, they are the web threads running, okay? These are the threads that are currently running in the JVM. So now what you do is you look through here until you find some that actually make a reference, a bit like the cold fusion debugging, actually start to give me a path and says, okay, inside of it here, I've got this thread here running, and that is, you look for the last file in the thread dump. So I've got component cache, so it's our caching service in there. It's sort of getting hammered as I'm load testing, okay? That's the line, that's the CFC, that's the line. Now, there's going to be lots and lots of threads running inside of here, okay? Because basically I'm load testing, and I haven't got a load issue on this particular application really at the moment, or, stuff is going in the JVM, but it's tuned and it's coming back out again, and my app is actually running quite well. But in an app that's not running well, there will be a few threads holding up the process, okay? So how do you tell what you do? Well, what you do is you actually take a few thread dumps, like over 15-second intervals, and then you start to look through those thread dumps to find out which threads are running across all of them. Because if you've got a thread, say, running over 15-second intervals, and it's actually in the JVM each time, then clearly that is not one that is getting cleared out very quickly. And then you can go and look at the code that's running on that file, and that's going to start to tell you what the problem is. Okay? If you do this, then you're going to find every time what the issue is. I mean, I think one of the things with Cold Fusion, with the Java and all the abstraction that goes on, is people think there's some sort of magic stuff going on. It isn't really. I mean, this is what happens. So every time you get a performance issue, you can go here and it will tell you what is holding up the issue in your JVM. I know that it can get tricky sometimes because things are so complex, but basically this will tell you what is going on and what is holding up the process inside your JVM. That comes back to code then. You're going to look at your code and you're going to find out what's running and what is causing it. I mean, I've seen all sorts of things cause issue. I've seen calls to web services where the web service is slow and it's coming back and it's just all getting confused. I've seen just people using some weird COM object which is doing something funny and called, getting instantiated and doing weird things. And I've just seen very bad code that I wrote once that, somehow got in the application and stayed there. There's a lot of that. But, so this is basically the process to find out what is going on. And if you apply this process, you are going to find out what's going wrong in your application. Okay, now that shows you a thread. I find threading issues and code issues are relatively easy to find, and that you will go through this process. It hasn't cost any money for any tools, nothing. $20 for a little simple app, and you set this up, you're going to find the problem. I find all these people, the consulting guys that always charge money to see if performance, they hate me doing this talk because puts them out of business. All right. Okay, so what you've got next is memory management. Okay, what happens if I see my memory going down and I've got a problem? Okay, what am I going to do then? That's where life gets a bit trickier. Okay, because how do you find a memory problem? Where is it? What's causing it? You take an application with many thousands of lines of code. What's causing my memory leak? And this is something that consumed me. This was part of my life that I didn't have for a while, where I was just trying to find ways in which to find out what the hell was going on within an application. Because with CFMX, you can very easily create a memory leak. You just don't var a variable inside a component, and that component gets called lots. Okay, that variable is going to become an orphan, and it's very quickly on very large applications going to have an issue. If you've got thousands of components or thousands of functions, how do you know which one or which bit of code caused it and what the problem is? Okay, so now I'll just go on to the best way that I've found to solve this, okay, and the best way that I've found to get around it. Now one of the things that we've got is Cold Fusion ships with the 1.4 JVM, okay? I think with Cold Fusion 8, they're going to move it so that it'll run on the 1.5 JVM, and that is awesome. And I know when Dean Harmon came down to WebDU in Sydney earlier the year and they were still deciding what they want to do, I absolutely pestered him and I said that, don't
you've got to try and put the 1.5 JVM in there. Mainly because the 1.5 JVM has much better internal monitoring, okay? It's a bit like ColdFusion debugging has a massive overhead when you're running it and it slows everything down. And the 1.5 JVM, you can put monitors on the JVM, but it's so heavy that it actually, if you're under load and you're trying to break your JVM and you turn it on, it just doesn't work. It just freezes your machine and turns to a nightmare. Whereas the 1.5 JVM might be under load, but the management and the monitoring kind of run separate and it stays really responsive and tells you what's going on. Okay, so one of the tricks that you can use to find a memory leak, okay, is, I mean, how many people have had memory leak issues here? Many? Okay, right. If I can show you a cheap way to do it for free and not have to buy a $100,000 profiler, will you buy me a beer? All right. It took me a while to discover all this stuff. I spent. Okay, let's have a look. Okay, so where am I? Okay, so the first thing that we've got to do is I've got another instance running here. So this instance I've got running here, okay, is this one on this port. Now, just a couple of things that you can do with the 1.5 JVM that you can't do with the 1.4. Now, it still runs. CF will run and your app will run. Don't run it in production. This is all about trying to find your issue, okay? Before anybody goes and puts 1.5 on in production, don't do it. This is all about having something that you can actually switch your JVM over, run it in 1.5, try and find the problem, okay, and put it back. It's not an ideal solution because sometimes a 1.5 JVM is a lot more efficient than the 1.4 and actually solves your problem for you. So, you know, but it's a way. So here's a quick look, all right? Here's the Sun JVM I'm running. And I'll go through this in a minute and show you how I've set all this up. So what this is telling me, if you look at all this information here, okay, this is a CF page that I wrote, and basically what you've got is you've got a management factory, okay? So I've been able to access a management factory. I've written all this in CF. Okay, and you can do things like get thread deadlocks, get run garbage collection, get all stack traces. You can actually programmatically find all that stuff that I was showing you, okay? And basically go through, output it, and you can get all of this information about the current running threads, about everything. So therefore, you know, in theory, we'll be able to, when you've got 1.5, actually write monitors for our application which can fix itself and start to tell us what's going on and really start to make a difference. Okay, now, if I come open this up, now here you can see I've got my memory and my free memory. Now, what I'm going to do here is I've got this this big query. So, okay, so in here somewhere, where are we? Big query, there it is. All right, which I've just got a database table which has got lots and lots of stuff in it, all right? And it's just a star select horrible query that doesn't have a join and just gets loads and loads of bits. All right, so the quickest way to get it out of memory leak in ColdFusion is just to run the big query, all right? And I'll start to see. So this is where the way in which you manage your record sets and data. Oh, I haven't covered any code stuff and anything in here because I just don't have enough time, but right, so, am I looking at the right one or the wrong one? Hold on. It's taken a bit of time to start up, I think. It's just gone. We should start to see our free memory drastically drop, but I'm not seeing that, so I'm not too sure what's going on at the moment. Trust me, I'm sure it will start to happen. Yeah, look, it finally fixed everything. There we go, here we go. Crikey. So you can see the memory just getting chewed up by that big query because that query is, you know, is just eating up the memory. So we're going down and down. Ooh, we're getting low. Yeah. Doesn't normally take too long to do this. I mean, this is quite a common issue, honestly. Big queries, bad management on queries, just. All right, it must be getting close to a out-of-memory. There we go. There we go. I should have an out-of-memory error there somewhere saying, java.lang, your favourite message. Hi. All right. It's still dropping down. But this is going down. That will eventually get there.
Okay, so when it gets down to zero, that's how you get an out-of-memory error. That's what they are. And it's, come on, do it for me. Come on. We're getting lower. 8,000. Still in the megs, but we're nearly in the bytes. Okay, there we go. We love that. That's all I had to do was run a big query. Nothing else. Just run a big query, it'll give me an out-of-memory and crash it. That's, you know, and it's easy to do. Okay, I'm going to kill that. He says, die. Okay. So, this is running Java 1.5. That was a Sun JVM that I was running. Now, the clever trick with getting memory management is you need Java profiling tools really to do it. Now, with 1.5, a lot of the JVM vendors are shipping cool tools for memory management integrated with the JVM, so you don't actually have to go and buy these really expensive tools. Okay, so what you can do is I'm going to switch JVMs now. I'm going to find out. Here we go. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start my JRun instance. I'm going to pass a config option, which is my JVM JRocket, okay? And that's going to start my CFusion 2 instance. Now, what this is going to do, if I come back to here, is going to use this JVM in my machine. That's hard when you deal with this load testing because my machine starts to slow up when I'm crashing everything. is that I'm going to tell it to use the JRocket 1.5 JVM, okay? I'm also going to turn on JRocket management server on that port, okay? And I'm going to start that instance. Okay, so it's just going to... So this is going to start my instance with a different JVM, okay? And take a bit of time to start up. And that started the management factory, okay? The integrated management factory that comes with the JVM. And again, this is a much lower overhead than you get on a on the standard 1.4. So that's my instance starting. Yeah. I've also got CFusion by the looks of it running on this instance, which if you haven't got time to cover CFusion, but you should go and see them in the stand if you're here. They've got a great tool that can manage, talk about queries and databases. They've got a great tool that lets you see some of that in real time. So, looks like I might be up and going. Now, what I've got here is I've got my memory leak code. So this is a different way to get a memory leak, okay? So as opposed to doing a big query. So what I've got is just a function which just basically runs, what does it do? It just sets a variable in scope. Hold on, I think it runs this one. It's just a way in which what I'm doing is just looping 25,000 records and creating an unvarred variable in a function in application scope, just basically all the things that you shouldn't do, okay, to generate a big memory leak, okay? I learned all this the hard way because I did it so many times that we started to figure All right. Yeah. Now, let's go. Memory leak. Let's create my memory leak and let's just watch what happens. Oh, no, hold on. I'm doing the wrong thing here. I've got to do that. Okay. What I didn't do was turn on the management factory to show you what happens when I do my memory leak. So, okay. So under my JVM here, JRocket, ships with a number of tools. One of them is a memory leak detector. For some reason, I installed my phone thing and it turned all of my JAR files into thinking that they're my mobile phone. I don't know. So I'll just open this. As I'm load testing the application now, I need to just probably stop that. No, I can't. Should be. There we go. Right, so my load test looks like it. My memory leak just finished before. So I can connect.
So what this is the leak detector system. So what it tells you is what is growing the heap in real time. Okay. And what you can do is filter. So I could go, well, cold fusion. I can see a cold fusion variable scope. Okay. So it's telling me that. Now, if I go back in here and I run my memory leak, in theory, once all this kicks in, I should see that start to grow. So everything's just a bit frozen up at the moment. So is that running? Should be. Should be doing all sorts of bad stuff. I think my processor's taking the time to run that. Probably my browser's probably run out of memory. Let me show you this. See if it's still running. Right, maybe I missed that window. Hold on. Is that reloads? Right, that should be. Funny, I just tracked this before and it worked perfectly. And I had the same thing when I did it in Sydney. It didn't actually do it for me in real time. What it does is it should start to show the percentage of the heap growing. Okay, there we go. Okay, we're starting to see the heap grow and the size and the number of instances happen. Now, on a dramatic memory leak in your application, it will really start to pinpoint what the problem is. And then basically you can double click on that. And then it'll start to tell you what's going on inside the JVM. Now, the thing to look to here, the important one is obviously I've got CF load test class, the generated class in CF. Amazing. You just got to look what's suspicious in there, what code have I got running, and what is starting to eat up all of my memory. And it's pretty clear when you've got a big app, you can actually quite easily see what the problem is, and it will tell you where you are and what is eating up your memory. Okay, so, you know, as I say, you'll just be able to look in here. Some of them are just obviously the Java-generated files and the cold fusion variables, but you will see that the class that is causing your memory leak will be somewhere in that screen, okay? And that will start to tell you. As I say, it's just a bit hard on this machine. You can actually connect remotely, so obviously the ideal is that you'd have another laptop talking to your server which connect on that port so that actually it doesn't freeze up when everything else is freezing up and it actually starts to give you responses in real time. So, I mean, I've sort of got to finish up, but there's a lot else, obviously, involved in CF performance tuning in terms of the code and all the other things that you have to do. I did actually spend about 6 months doing all of this, and at the end of it, I had a huge amount of information, and I basically put that into a PDF book, which you can buy online. I'm by no means an author, and it was really just me trying to get all that information down and out and letting people be able to read it in any sort of format, because I thought that it had value for a lot of people who were having issues with this rather than me thinking it wasn't kind of good enough to go out there. So that's really what I've done. You can buy online. I think it's US dollars at the moment. With the exchange rate, it's probably only about 40 US dollars or something. And I was just going to do it and release it out for free, but I honestly spent so much time doing it that my wife would have killed me if I'd done it, and that's the truth. So I said, look, I'll charge some money for it and just pay the bills in terms of the the payment gateways and all the other things. Look, that's my email. I'm a busy man and I travel around a lot, but, you know, if I can be of assistance, if you come down to the Straker stand and you've got any questions, I've actually got to run off and do a presentation on just some of our software in a minute, so I'm going to have to zoom out, but I am down at the Straker stand and I'll be around having a few beers and stuff later. If you've got questions, I'm more than willing to help. You know, as I say, I'm busy, and feel free to email me if you think I can point you in the right direction, but I don't think I could handle answering specific questions. As I say, I was in a situation, I can remember one day waking up and going, crikey, if I can ever solve why the hell I've got all these issues, I've got to tell everybody about it. So that's really why I've been here. So I hope you learned something, and yeah, please feel free to come and see at the stand. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.